Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. You may be seated. There's a party atmosphere in the house. The King has invited us in. I don't really anticipate being invited by a king of this world to come to their home. I imagine if I went in too close to the Queen's house in England, one of those guys with the big bushy hats would all of a sudden step out of their stare out into the courtyard and come chasing after me because not invited. But you and I have been invited into the presence of an almighty God here this evening. Amen. Sherry and I are honored to be with you. Now, a couple of days ago, or a week or so ago, I went to a new dentist. It's always an enjoyable experience, right? But before he would stick his face in my mouth, I had to fill out about 4 sheets of paper. Okay, we're going to take pictures of you. Do we take pictures only of your teeth? Can we take pictures of the lower half of your face? Can we take pictures of your whole face? Can we use it for research purposes only for being published? Can we take pictures of your whole face for being published? And on and on and on the list went. I went to have my teeth cleaned. I wound up filling out 4 sheets of paper now they put it on their iPad, so you don't know how many sheets of paper you're filling out. You just keep hitting the next. You are here tonight as a confession. O Lord, do unto me as you will. By coming in the door, you said, O Lord, I am at your disposal. He's not sending you a bunch of sheets of paper saying, what might I do to you? But when you come and confess, Jesus, you are Lord, you said, Lord, do unto me as you will. Now, I'll have to confess, at the dentist office, I checked. You can only use pictures of my teeth, not my mug. And you may only use it for research purposes, not for your business purposes. When I come into the presence of an almighty God, it's Lord, whatever you want to do, as long as it's your glory, be it unto me. I'm wondering if there's anyone here in the house this evening, if that's the attitude that you have moving into 2022. Oh, Lord, here I am. Do unto me according to your wisdom and your good pleasure. Let thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Lord, we lift our voice and we lift our hands even now. We belong in your presence by your invitation. And as such, we ask thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Do unto us according to your good pleasure. And for this, oh, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Sometimes it's confusing. Why does the Lord heal some now and others not? Acts chapter 3 tells us of Peter and John on that time of prayer at the temple at that gate. Saw a lame man there who had been at that gate. Scripture says for 40 years, which means Jesus had walked by him 100 times. Crossed paths with Jesus 100 times. But it wasn't the right time that the world could know who Jesus was through that miracle. You see, everything that happens to you is so that the world might know Jesus. Amen. What a delight to be with you, Sherry and I, to be with you here again this evening. I was trying to think of how many years it's been now y'all been so gracious. I know it's been more than 10, and such a delight it has been all along the way. Holidays, of course, as we've all just come through, are times of fellowship and times of catching up and telling family stories and maybe having an argument or disappointment or two along the way. It's always fun to watch the kids open the gifts. Some of them get Barbie dolls. Some of them get Barbie dolls. There she is. Some of them get Barbie dolls, and they're never disappointed by those Barbie dolls. Sometimes as you see the child open the gift and say, it's what I always wanted. What is it? because they trust you that you would give them something spectacular, and they don't exactly know what it is. And sometimes that weird uncle comes who doesn't come to anything else, but he shows up at the holiday party, and you got to figure out how to all of a sudden get a gift for that weird uncle. My friend Robert, I had coffee with him yesterday morning, and told me the story of his great-granddad that was told that at their Christmas time, his grandmother had come. She's in her 90s. She said great-granddad had skated across the frozen river in Maryland to visit the young lady across the river on the other side, before telephones and before Zoom calls, that to see his beloved, he would strap on the skates and skate across. Those stories happen at times of fellowship and times being together with families. Recently with my brothers, we talked about my mom's catchphrase every Christmas. And it usually started about mid-October. This is going to be a bad Christmas. My mom grew up quite impoverished. Part of her home life, she lived literally in a remodeled chicken coop. Her dad had abandoned her and her mother and her four siblings back before there were social economic system to catch unwed mothers. And Mama always wanted to make sure her boys, my brothers and I, we would receive good Christmas things. But by October, she was always worried each year. I'm afraid this is the year my boys are going to get disappointed because I'm not going to be able to give. So this became a mantra almost of my mother from as far back as I can remember, 10, 12 years old, I can remember Mama saying, "It's going to be a bad Christmas this year." And of course, when Christmas came around, it was always a wonderful time. And so as I looked under my own tree with my princess the other day, thinking, "Mama," Mom passed away a couple years ago, thinking, "Mama, it's still going to be a good Christmas." Always is. I think of my dad and also growing up quite poor without running water. And well, actually, they had running water, just depended on how fast he could run. Going outside in the middle of the night instead of down the hall, you know, all those kinds of things. And Dad, for Christmas, would always get his two pair of jeans, which is his clothing allotment for the next year. That was his Christmas gift. And it was the one time of the year he would get an orange, never get another piece of fruit like that all year, but one orange and a few nuts. And so growing up in a pastor's home, my brothers and I, we all knew on Christmas, this Saturday before Christmas Sunday, we would gather around the kitchen table and make up bags of nuts and fruit to give away to the children at Sunday school the next day. And so I had to text my brothers on the Sunday before Christmas and say, "Well, if Dad were still here and we were at his table, I know what we would be doing right now." And one of them texted back, "Yeah, it's a little bit too early yet. It'll be another hour from now." But great stories that we have as we get around and we eat the food and we challenge one another in games. And you know which family member will cheat at those games? We have one beloved family member that becomes the game within the game. Because how is he going to cheat, and will anybody catch him in the process? That's the real game at the game. The decorations, the hopes for the next year, and each new year brings that forward. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 11, this may sound like a strange text to read for a sermon. Do I have anybody in the house that plans on reading the Bible through in 2022? Okay, I plan on doing it as well. You might do the quick run, maybe 2 months, 3 months, read the whole Bible through, or you might break it out over the year. But probably passages like this don't captivate your attention too much. Genesis chapter 11, we'll begin reading verse number 10. And seriously, this is my text for this evening. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 5 and 30 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 400 years and 3 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begat Eber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Eber lived 4 and 30 years and begat Peleg, snicker, snicker. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg, snicker, snicker again, 430 years and begat sons and daughters and Peleg, thrice snickered, lived 30 years and begat Rehu, and Peleg, quadruple snicker, lived after he begat Rehu 209 years and begat sons and daughters, and Rehu lived 2 and 30 years and begat Serug. Anybody heard a sermon on this passage recently? Just want to make sure I had a text that pastor hadn't preached on, so I think I found one. And Rehu lived after he begat Serug 207 years, begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years. There'll be a quiz on this around the dining table after a while. 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 9 and 20 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years, begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram and Nahor and Haran. 9 generations are told, 9 generations that cover 289 years, if my math adds it up correctly. Shem, the progenitor of this tribe that followed, was 100 years old 2 years after the flood, which means he was born his dad's second year or so into building the ark. He learned how to walk while tripping over gopher wood and falling in vats of pitch. He learned to hear stories of mockery in the town square. Let's go see that crazy man. He had never seen rain until he was 98 years old, and his first rainbow glistened in the sky half a year or so later. If you add up the story and the years of his life, you will see that Shem himself, since he lived 500 years after Arphaxad was born, Shem lived long enough to see all the next 8 generations. Abram had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Could you imagine how long stories would take at that Thanksgiving dinner as 8 generations of grandpas and 8 generations of grandmothers will tell stories of, now when I was a kid, before the flood. And then one of them would kick in the story. We used to be able to talk with the people on the other side of the mountain. If you go to the other side of the mountain now, they are your distant cousins, 9 times removed. We used to be able to talk together. We can't talk together anymore because back several generations ago, we all worked on building a building. We wanted to build a building that could reach all the way into heaven. We wanted to build a building so that we could put our name on it, Chrysler Tower. We wanted to build something so that God couldn't bring us to chaos. But God instead scattered us with languages. So you could hear the generation after generation asking stories about what was it like when there were tens of thousands of people. And then a year later, there were only 8 people. What was it like to go scavenger hunting in villages that were all empty? What was it like to go and get what you wanted because no one was going to ever chase you down? And what was it like to go back and bury your school friends who had refused to come and join you in the ark? Stories told generations after generations after generations. The Bible is filled with these generational tales, similar to someone who sends in a cheek swab these days for 22andMe or whatever the name of the place is. You know, get your DNA analyzed. I know that there are families that did that and found out, oops, that wasn't my dad that I thought was my dad, because the DNA didn't match up with sister's DNA. Stories came out through the genealogies and hurts were there, and others discover that they were related to folks they had never known, and then some crooks were caught because their DNA could be chased down through these volunteer offerings of cheek swabs, which only court orders could get it otherwise. In scriptures, genealogies are given to us as memory devices. In Matthew, for instance, there are three groups of 14, and 14 is a 2-7. Seven is God's number, so you have 7 times 2, 7 times 2, and 7 times 2. And in that story, there are three women mentioned, and sometimes those of us who are detail freaks, you don't need to raise your hand, your wife knows who you are. Those of us who are detail freaks, we want to put this genealogy next to that genealogy, and we get really distraught when the genealogies aren't exactly measured up, when we want to know, why isn't the Bible reliable? Well, the answer is, right now, those of you that are distraught by those things, the genealogy isn't given for historical accuracy. The genealogy is given to tell a story. There were those 14, 14, 14, but if you read through those triad of 14, you'll see a couple of generations were skipped here and there to make the 14 work. The Bible is still true because it said so-and-so begat so-and-so, and that was accurate even if it you begat it and that was your grandson or your great-grandson. Because the word son could mean son or grandson or descendant, if you will. But the writer of the story is giving a genealogy to capture what God did to get us ready for what God's going to do. Every time you read a genealogy in Scripture this coming year, you need to perk up for a moment, plow through the strange-sounding names and snicker at Peleg one more time. But recognize there's a genealogy here because God's getting ready to do something. The book of Exodus and Numbers, there are some genealogies. Why? Because God's got his people on a move. They are slaves no more. I have made them free, and I'm taking them all the way home. There might have been 400 years of captivity, but the captivity is over, so let's count the genealogy again. Abraham, God was good. Isaac, God was good. Jacob, God was good. 12 patriarchs, God was good. Joseph's two boys, God was good. All the way down the line. The book of Nehemiah, as they're sitting there among those stones which are now moss covered from 70 years of abandonment from the wall. And Nehemiah says it's time for another genealogy. It's time for us to go back and recount. We're still here, and this is how we got here. But today is not the end of the story. There's a wall to be finished tomorrow, and we got to remember where God brought us from so we can turn around and say, God is not finished with me yet. He has a plan in front of me. Genealogies give us cause for celebration. Genealogies prepare us for the next part of the story. Genealogies give us perspective of the author. Matthew starts with Abraham to Joseph, as I mentioned. Luke starts all the way, or goes backwards all the way to Adam, the very son of God. These genealogies of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob advance the story. But there's a genealogy of Ishmael and his 12 princes. And the story closes. Esau, whose name is Edom. Genealogy. And the story closes. You see, making one or two choices can truncate your genealogy, can cut the tree down. And God's redemptive plan, or a simple decision, I will keep walking faithfully with the God who called me. I may not see how being faithful now leads to the end of the story, but my genealogy says Abraham was faithful. I can be faithful. Isaac was faithful. I can be faithful. Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, Scripture tells us one day he walked with God and then
was not.
God says, you're closer to my house than yours. Just take one more step, son. Came over. Some of the men listed in this genealogy that I've read this evening, they had heard that story from the mouth of men who knew Enoch. This kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? They weren't reading books. They were giving these oral stories, stories that could be handed down. Shem could tell Abraham down the line of nine generations and say, you know, our great-great-grandpappy, my great-great-grandpappy, it's hard to believe it. One day this man was so close to God, he was not. I always wondered what it would be like to be that close to God. I wonder if anybody, great, 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 great grandson, I wonder if anybody could ever be a friend of God. And one day, God came to Abram. Leave home. Your daddy already took you out of Ur, and daddy died. Now it's time for you to leave Haran and come on. I'm going to take you on a journey. How far? I'm taking you on a journey. When will I get there? I'm taking you on a journey. Are there any other control freaks in the house that need to know how long it's going to take to get there? This is one of the irritating things about your GPS. As I'm leaving my house in Dallas, driving to Missouri, I click in because I started from a slightly different location. And it told me if I didn't stop, I would get there by 6:05. But I know that there's a Buc-ee's between here and there. And I know that I will stop for dinner, and then that means potty breaks in between. And I know that we now need to stretch our... I wish I hadn't looked. Because at 6:05, it crosses my mind, I would have been there by now. If I hadn't had to stop somewhere along the way. As we are here, last day of another year, most of us are saying, I thought we would be there by now. Who would have ever believed I would have gotten to be the oldest one in my family? Who would have ever believed that these years would pass by and those little ones you used to teach in Sunday school now have kids of their own in Sunday school? Who would have believed that those who once were strong and vibrant now use walkers or already have crossed on before? So it seems like 2022 is only going to be a season of endurance. Because last 2 years have been seasons of chaos. That's the time to say to yourself, Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500. That's time to say, genealogy brought me here. God's faithfulness brought me here. God isn't finished with the story. So I need to pick up the book one more time. And I need to flip with anticipation. I wonder what God's going to do next. Because until God says, you made it all the way home, there's another chapter, there's another page to be turned. I was once an elementary school teacher and loved watching children learn to read. Now, as a grandpa, seeing my granddaughter yesterday flipping through a 300-page book, and as she flipped from one chapter to the next, her eyes got big, and the declaration was made, I just finished chapter 7. She felt like it was time to break out the Marine band. President doesn't need them. I finished chapter 7. Bring out the Marine band and strike it up loud. And as we prattled on about what grown-ups prattled on, she went back to her book, and then all of a sudden, I'm at page 100. This achievement has never been reached before. Why? Because those pages kept turning. Wondering if there's anybody in the house tonight that has a little bit of faith from the master one more time, that says if God was good enough to get us here, he's got a plan taking us into 2022. This story is not over. Now, since I get to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night, this sermon will have an end. Because I'm going to preach part two Sunday morning and part three Sunday night. Beautiful pieces of the beginning of Abraham's life. Abraham, the long line of people to whom God had been good, although they had not always been good. You see, son of Abram's grandparents had, they had said to their cousins on the other side of the mountain, let's build that city. They had said, God's not going to do that to us again. Grandpa Shem, tell us what it was like to hear those first pitters on that one window at the top of the ark. What was it like to spend all those 100+ days with animals? And Grandpa Shem, why didn't you kill those two mosquitoes? Wondering this evening, as we limp through another year, some of us, and we wonder, why am I going through my days and why am I being faithful when it seems like this story has no end? This is time to remember the story didn't start with you, and the story's not going to end with you. The story started by God saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? I want a relationship with you. And someday there's going to come a son, and he's going to step on the head of the serpent, and that evil is going to all be gone. Brothers and sisters, we are in the genealogy book. I might be your weird uncle that gets invited once in a while just because people have pity on weird uncles. Oh no, Uncle Jim's coming. Hide the silver. I've been accused by a few people that when I walk into their home, because I have this dumb thing, when I walk into somebody's house, my head goes on a swivel. I had a dear friend that passed away last year. He said, Jim, every time you come to my house, it looks like you're casing the joint. I check the candlesticks when you leave to make sure they're all still there, because you walk into a house and your head swivels and takes inventory of what's there. And I notice your new wall hangings that weren't here last time, and I notice some pictures in the foyer that weren't here last time. And why? Because, no, I didn't steal the old ones. I'm that weird uncle. We belong in this family. Pastor's already read Hebrews chapter number 12, a great cloud of witnesses that testify to us. Probably your church, like my church at home, has buried some of our family last year and the year before. And should the Lord tarry, 2022, we'll have another funeral or two or five or ten. And there will be times when we will ask the question, God, what in the world are you up to? Why? Why are you allowing this to happen? Right now, I'm telling you what you do in those moments. You go back to your genealogy again, and you read the story of who God is here. You need to go back and remember who taught you a Bible study. You need to go back and remember who was your Sunday school teacher. You need to go back and remember where you were when you were baptized in the name which is above every name. You need to remember that first time you spoke in tongues. You need to remember where you were in sin before you came to Jesus. You need to remember the story of who baptized your pastor and who baptized your pastor's pastor. And you need to remember the stories going back to Topeka, Kansas and Azusa Street. And you need to remember that in the book you belong there. And because of that, no matter what 2022 looks like, it's a new day from above. And God is at work. And when God is at work, it will be completed. You see, genealogies remind us that he's the creator and that he's the sustainer, and that he's the keeper of all things. That blind man that Jesus healed that day, instead of everybody rejoicing with this ex-beggar who had begged for years because he's a blind man, they went into theological discussion. Was he a sinner? Point of order. He's been blind from birth. Maybe he sinned in his mama's womb. And if he didn't, then his mama must be a sinner. Mamas can still carry the agony of a child that suffers and wonders, what did I do? Because my child suffers or walked away from God. It's not living in the blessings that the Word says. But Jesus said it's not his sin, not mama's sin, not daddy's sin or granddad's sin. And I'm working things together that my name could be known and my glory can be told throughout the whole wide world as I reconcile all things unto myself. You came to this room tonight and you sung, Jesus, you are Lord. That says, I say, O Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And wherever you have me in the story, that's all right with me. I just gotta know I'm in the story. Whatever you choose to do in my life, that's all right with me. I've just got to know that you're working everything to your glory. When they came to that blind man and asked him his opinion, he says, I don't know what y'all are arguing about. I just know this one thing. I was blind, but not anymore. Now I see. You often will not understand why you went through 2021's events or 2019 or 2010 or 1975 or wherever those tragedies took your life in a course which seemed unrepairable and seemed like the rest of your days would be lived in agony and despair and worthlessness. High time for you to remember, we belong to a long family of faith. And even if you walked away, you're here tonight in his house. And he has grafted you back into his tree one more time and says, you belong in my family. And if I was good to Peter, I'm going to be good to you. And if I was good to John, I'm going to be good to you. And if Timothy was my son, so are you. Those third of the women in Romans chapter 16, if I was good to those women, I'm good to you. God keeps and he sustains. Genealogies call us to remember, to see the real story at work. COVID is not the big news from 2019 and 2020 and 2021. That's not the big story. Vaccines are not the big story. Last year's presidential election was not the big story. This year's efforts to get more people vaccinated and government efforts to solve crises and spend trillions of dollars, or will this lady get convicted or not, or will that person pay the price for their... That's not the big story of 2021. Here's the big story of 2021. God was in control. That's the big story of 2021. The chaos that sounds a lot like reading through nine generations of people. It was 16 verses in my opening text, 16 verses covering nearly 290 years, or if you count Shem's birth before the flood, 390 years of time and 16 verses, but those 16 verses say, I'll tell you what the story is. It wasn't the flood, and it wasn't Babel, and it wasn't this person's failure or that person's success. Here's the story. There is a God, and that God's in control, and that God is bringing his will to pass. And so on Sunday, we'll read about a covenant with Abram. And Sunday night, we'll talk about some of his threats that were along the way. But tonight, part one of the sermon is recognizing we got a new day on its way. And that day is from above, but it's in a long chain of God's delivering power and God's delivering grace. I don't know what your anticipations are for 2022. But let me tell you right now, if it doesn't start off with God is so good, then your prediction is wrong. If it doesn't start off with God is in control and his will shall be done, then your prediction for 2022 is wrong. I don't know what you think the midterm elections are going to do next November. Frankly, don't give a hoot. Oh, I'll vote, I'll be a good American, I'll step behind the curtain and punch the little buttons and walk out, and I will reject the sticker on my lapel as I always do. Midterm elections will not be the big news of 2022. Here's going to be the big story of 2022. God is still in control. You may eat the exact same breakfast that you did for the last 10 years, God's still in control. You may still, is there anybody in the house that buys Sanka coffee anymore? Can I see that? Can I see the brave soul that can? No hands. I was at a relative's house recently and they had Nescafe coffee. Plastic container sitting on the shelf. And you know what I drank that morning? Heated in the microwave with two heaping scoops of Nescafe crystals. Then I went to a coffee shop. True story. You might have the same job. You might look in the mirror and count a few more gray hairs or the loss of the three that you had left. You might finally get around to fixing that baseboard or caulking that window. That's not the big news. Here's the big news. God is still in control. Here's the tragic corollary. Most of Americans won't know it. Most of them will try to figure out through scientific method cause and effect. What caused this to happen, and where do we go from there, and watch the variant after Omicron, and what are we going to do about it, and can we get shots, or can we take a pill, or we can stub our nose, turn around three times by the fire, and throw bat wing dust in the air and resolve the issue. Here's another sad corollary. Many apostolics will go through 2022. And not know God is in control. Because we will ask questions like, I wonder if my life is worth anything. You know how I can know that's a real question? Because I ask it more than once in 2021. Anyone else willing to confess? How is all of this going to come to pass, and why is it taking so long? Where did I make the wrong turn in my life, or did I miss God's sign, and because of that, I'm now in purgatory on earth, just like a rodent in a cage, spinning on a wheel, waiting for people to say I look natural. I don't know why no one ever tells me that now. No one has ever looked at me and Jim, you look so natural. But there will come a day where y'all will stare at me in a box and say, oh, he looks so natural. Maybe I've looked like a carcass all along. That's the only thing I can. But there will be many of us as apostolics if we are not careful and if we are not able to remember our genealogy, we will go through 2022 as if God is not in control. And we will pray for the small things because our vision gets shrunk down to the day in front of us, the bill in front of us, crisis in front of us, or the vacation in front of us. And we will forget Shem begat Arphaxad, and Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Somebody preached to your pastor, and your pastor has preached to you, and you live the gospel of Jesus Christ in your home and on your workplace and at school and in the marketplace, because this genealogy cannot stop with me. Let's stand again. Here's the good news for 2022. God's in charge. Government may or may not have an answer. Our story is that we can live with purpose and witness to the world. So as we get ready to celebrate the beginning of a new year, why is it that when we mourn last year's, we celebrate a new year like something different is going to happen? For crying out loud, I've been here 60 times before. Just by visual inspection, a few of you have been here two or three more times more than that. Why do we celebrate the coming of a new year, the dropping of a ball, the blowing of the whistle? New possibilities. Goodbye, I hated last year. We're going to pray right now, and here's our prayer. Our prayer is, God, thank you for your bountiful blessings in 2021. Thank you for being in charge in 2021. Thank you for not changing the course when I complained. Thank you for not answering my prayers when I asked bad questions of you. Like, where are you? Duh. You know, God has to say, that's a dumb question. I'm here. And the breath that you just used to complain about my lack of faithfulness came because I gave you faithfully one more breath. Before we can celebrate 2022 in an apostolic way, we got to celebrate a genealogy. God, you have been so good to us. Lord, you've been good to Sherry and me in 2021. For moments along the way, my vision was clouded by the fog of a new crisis. And in the midst of the fog, I thought it was the first time you were ever going to fail in the history of humanity. But in that moment, it was so real to me. Anybody else have a moment like that in 2021? When you accuse God of failing for the first time. You know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to celebrate. God, you have been so good to me in 2021. It might have been a year of turmoil. Some of you may have been on ventilators, like my dear friend, Sister Pate at home in my home church, who spent time on a ventilator and then time in a rehab hospital and time learning how to walk again and time catching her breath after getting out of a chair. But Sister Molly tonight can say, God's been good to me. Church, before we can celebrate the dawning of a new day, we've got to acknowledge our God has always been faithful to us. Lord Jesus, King of kings and majesty of majesties, you have been so good to us, oh Lord. I thank you for my breath this day. And I thank you for my precious wife, Sherry Lynn. And I thank you for my babies, even those who aren't walking as close to you as they need to tonight. I thank you because you still give them breath. I thank you, Lord, that you sustained my path. I thank you, Lord, that your breath breathed on me in dark moments when I was weary with the journey and could not see tomorrow. Even though your footprints on my yesterdays indelibly mark your faithfulness. Dear God, you have been so good to us. We cannot say good year, O Lord. We cannot say Happy New Year, O Lord, until we can say thank you for the blessings of 2021. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare thank you, O Lord, for your abundant blessings to us. Oh, if this is your confession, if this is your confession, would you join me around this altar? If that's your confession, would you just come and raise a hand? You might say you're not worthy to raise a hand. He makes you worthy right now. Oh, sing.